This is Captain Rick reporting. I'm back with part two of the Wednesday, May 25th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. I'll be starting with the obituaries. Martha Catherine DeBruler, Bethany. Martha Catherine DeBruler, 97, of Bethany, passed away 2:30 a.m. Friday, May 20th, at Titus Manor, Sullivan. Funeral services will be held 2 p.m. Sunday, May 29th, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Bethany. Visitation will be held after 1 p.m. on Sunday, May 29th, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Bethany. Burial will be in Marylebone Township Cemetery, Bethany. Memorials may be made to Titus Manor at Wyman Park, Sullivan, or to the First Christian Church, Bethany. Miriam J. Hagen, Clinton. Miriam J. Hagen, 91, of Clinton, passed away at 5 a.m. May 22nd at Memorial East Hospital, Shiloh, Illinois. Services will be 11 a.m. Thursday, May 26th at the Clinton United Methodist Church, Clinton, with Reverend David Huff and Reverend Leanne Nolan officiating. Burial will follow at Woodlawn Cemetery, Clinton. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday at the church. Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be directed to the Clinton United Methodist Church or the Chestnut Health Systems. Warren Lane, Sullivan. Warren Lane, 87, of Sullivan, died at 10:56 a.m. Monday, May 23rd, in St. Mary's Hospital, Decatur. Celebration of life services will be 11 a.m. Friday at the Elam Springs Church of Jesus Christ, rural Sullivan, with Felix Hagerman and Vanessa Patient officiating. Burial will be in the Green Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be 1 hour before the services at the church. Memorials are suggested to the Mason Point Activity Fund. Reed Funeral Home, Sullivan, is in charge of arrangements. Nancy D. Perkins, Weldon. Jesus took Nancy D. Perkins, 72, home on May 21st at 12:25 a.m. Services will be 12 noon Saturday, May 28th at the Baptist Church, Weldon, with Pastor Clyde Shreve officiating. Burial will follow at Weldon Cemetery, Weldon. Visitation will be 11 a.m. until the service time at the church. Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be directed to the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County, 3373 North Woodford Street, Decatur. Walter R. Perkins, Clinton. Walter R. Perkins, lifelong resident of Clinton, passed away early Sunday morning with his family by his side. Walter was 94, a local artist and musician. Per his self-written obituary, he died at the bar when he choked on an olive in his martini. Graveside services will be 2:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 25th, at Pleasant Valley Cemetery, Kinney, Illinois, with Pastor Tim Luciana officiating, and with military honors. Visitation will be held 1 to 2 p.m. Wednesday at Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton. Wanda Lee Phipps, Decatur. Wanda Lee Bonnie Phipps, 83, of Decatur, passed away Monday, May 23rd, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Graveside services to celebrate Bonnie's life will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, May 26th, in Graceland Cemetery. Burial will follow in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to the wishes of the family, care of Pam Blickendurfer. Shelby Ann Tate, Sullivan. Shelby Ann Tate, 32, of Sullivan, passed away at 2:03 p.m. Saturday, May 21st, in her home in Sullivan. Memorial services will be held 6 p.m. Friday, May 27th, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Sullivan, with Father Angel Sierra officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the services at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Sullivan. Interment will be at a later date in Arthur Cemetery, Arthur. Memorials may be made in care of the family. Betty Lee Bandy, Arcola. Betty Lee Bandy, 90, of Arcola, died at 5:47 a.m. Sunday, May 22nd, at Palm Terrace, Mattoon. Graveside services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 27th, at the Arcola Cemetery. Schrader Funeral Home, 204 North Locust Street, Arcola, is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials are suggested to the Arcola Public Library or Special Olympics. The following funerals are today. Danny R. Gregg, 59, Charleston, 10 a.m. in United Pentecostal Tabernacle Church, Charleston. Elsie Elizabeth Heiser, 96, Columbus, Ohio, formerly of Decatur, 1 p.m. in Brittlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Decatur. Carol Robert Koch, K-O-C-H, 83, Decatur, 10 a.m. in Northeast Christian Church. Margene S. Marge Niebuhr, 85, Decatur, 11 a.m. in St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Walter R. Perkins, 94, Clinton, 2:30 p.m. in Pleasant Valley Cemetery, Kinney. William Dale Ward, 86, Sullivan, 11 a.m. in First Christian Church, Sullivan. The following funerals are pending. Mildred Browning, 76, Decatur, died Tuesday, May 24th, Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Max R. Cowgill, 82, Decatur, died Tuesday, May 24th, Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Jeanette Schnepper, S-C-H-N-E-P-P-E-R, Decatur, died Monday, May 23rd, Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. William Stevenson, 76, Clinton, died Tuesday, May 24th, Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton. We're moving on now to an editorial entitled, Meth Arrests Point to Drug Problem. The recent crystal meth bust in eastern McLean County was a wake-up call for anyone who thinks there's no drug problem in our midst. The $30,000 haul of high-grade crystal meth was headed toward Saybrook for distribution elsewhere, authorities believe. It probably was manufactured in another country and was brought to central Illinois via Atlanta, Georgia. The quantity and quality of the drug, known colloquially as ICE, was a first for the county, Sheriff John Sandage said. The arrest was made after a traffic stop by Deputy Brian Hanner and was the first major bust attributed to the county's newest canine named Rico. Crystal meth is a highly addictive street drug that can be snorted, smoked, or injected with a needle. Abuse can lead to memory loss, aggression, psychotic behavior, and potential heart and brain damage, according to the Foundation for a Drug-Free World. Crystal meth is more potent than its counterpart, which is a commonly manufactured using cold pills and farm chemicals. The basic form of methamphetamine, which provides a quick, cheap, and easy high and is highly addictive, made its way into the Midwest from California almost 20 years ago. With easy access to interstates and relatively close proximity to metro cities like Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and Des Moines, central Illinois is an attractive spot to sell or transfer drugs from any part of the country. Law enforcement officials have known that for a long time, but it's taken a recent near epidemic of heroin use for the general public to start taking a hard look at the problem of serious drugs. Last fall, in an interview with the Quincy Herald Whig, Illinois State Police Master Sergeant Patrick Frazier said crystal meth was making its way into central Illinois via Mexican drug cartels. When police come across crystal meth, the newspaper said, they're finding it in much larger doses than when they investigated cases involving the traditional form. Manufacturing differences in Mexico makes that country's crystal meth almost 100% pure and a lot cheaper, according to the Herald Whig, quoting Jim Schroba, special agent in charge of the Drug Enforcement Administration Office in St. Louis. Residents of central Illinois must accept that drugs, crimes, poverty, and homelessness are alive and well in our communities and contribute to a vicious cycle that ends with more crime, more poverty, and more homelessness as each generation becomes entwined in drug use. Our police agencies struggle for public acceptance of the jobs they do to keep us safe. It's time for us to step up as a community to fight the problems that contribute to so many preventable issues. And now, Dear Abby. Dear Abby, my mom lives with me and my hubby. Recently, I found out that she walks around at night because she hears noises or is restless, and puts her head on our bedroom door, too. I was shocked. I think this is a complete invasion of my privacy, and I was embarrassed to no end. I now avoid getting intimate with my hubby, and he has no idea why. I have to be sensitive about what I say to Mom because she underwent surgery recently and she has a lot of medical issues. How should I handle this? No noise for Ms. Nosy. Dear No Noise, the first thing you should do is tell your husband why you have been avoiding intimacy. If you don't, he may think it has something to do with him or the way you feel about him, and that's neither true nor fair. Your mother's wandering around at night may be noiseless, but it could be insomnia or other medical issues. Her inability to sleep should be mentioned to her doctor so the cause can be determined. If you can't correct that it's nosiness, if you are correct that it's nosiness, then it should be handled firmly by you and your husband, and some other living arrangement for her should be made. Lost friend. Dear Abby, for years, a friend of mine was in love with me. I didn't want to ruin the friendship by getting into a relationship, so I'd brush off his advances. After 6 years, I realized he was a good man who would do anything for me, so I decided to go on a date. The date led to marriage, but now, 5 years later, we are divorced because I realized we were better off as friends rather than as spouses. He was okay with the divorce and moving out because he knew I would be happier, and he wanted me to be happy. Now that he's gone, I am sad that I lost my friend. I miss the friendship we once had, and I'm heartbroken. It feels like I have suffered a death. Can you please help me? I'm not sure what to do. Lost out west. Dear Lost, in a sense, you have suffered a death, the death of your marriage. Give yourself time to grieve. If you thought that after divorcing your husband, you could go back to being friends as though the marriage never happened, you were unrealistic. From his perspective, he has been rejected on a very basic level. In order to get past it, he may need time and distance from you. That's understandable. In the meantime, stay busy with friends and projects, because that will give you less time to brood. If you're not exercising, start now. Regular exercise can help lessen depression. However, if your sadness persists, discuss it with a licensed psychotherapist so it doesn't become chronic. Good advice for everyone, teens to seniors, is in The Anger in All of Us and How to Deal with It. To order, send your name and mailing address, plus check our money order for $7 to Dear Abby, Anger Booklet, Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 6105-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. Now, a local news article entitled Decatur School District to Reinstate Adult Education. Decatur. The Decatur School District Adult Education Program will be reinstated as of the fall semester. Assistant Superintendent Michael Dugan told the board at its meeting on Tuesday that, thanks to assistance from the Regional Office of Education, funds will be available for adult education at least through the fall. Because of the state's budget impasse, funding was cut to the Illinois Community College Board, which provided the grant funding for most of the adult education programs. "We have been searching for other sources of funding," he said. "A couple of board meetings back, we were excited about a bill that went through that was going to fund junior colleges. And we found out that the adult education program was not part of that bill." Regional Superintendent Matthew Snyder offered the funding from the regional office, and Dugan's recommendation to the board was to reinstate adult education for the year in the hope that funding would be restored or that the program's director, Rocky Wilkerson, would be able to find sufficient grants or other funding. In other business, the board heard from Rochelle Clark, Director of Student Services, in regard to changes to the Student Code of Conduct for next year. Several changes had to be made to put the district in compliance with a new law, known as Senate Bill 100, and, after a lengthy process, those changes are ready for board consideration. The board will vote on the changes at its next meeting on June 28th. Among the changes are updates in language, athletic fees that include family caps to make athletics more affordable to low-income families, tardy policies that are cohesive throughout the district, new graduation requirements that include civics, a change in the cell phone policy, and computer devices that will require students to leave cell phones at home or in their lockers during the school day, and consequences for infractions that reduce the length of suspensions for some offenses in order to keep kids in school, but still allow administrators some leeway to use their own judgment. "We didn't want to tie their hands," Clark said. The updated handbook will be given out at registration and available on the district website. The board voted to end the verbal agreement with farmer Tom Bowman, who has farmed a portion of the campus at Stephen Decatur Middle Schools for several years, due to the Decatur Park District's plan to eventually expand the soccer fields there. Mike Sotiroff, Director of Buildings and Grounds, told the board that the law requires giving Bowman ample notice, and he will farm that ground this year and next year before the agreement ends. The Park District's plans are contingent upon funding which is not yet available, he added, and allowing Bowman to continue to farm the area through next summer will keep the school district from having to maintain the area. Ed Moyer, Chief Instruction Officer, reported on last year's results of assessments and the Literacy for All initiative, which is ending its first year. Though comparing the district's scores of national norms shows that Decatur students are below national averages, the scores are still within norms, he said. "We have work to do, and it's serious work," he said. "We can compare absolute results and projected growth." With two national tests to use for comparison, he said, The average of both is that approximately 15% of students who were reading below grade level at the beginning of the school year are now reading at or above grade level. The achievement gap is still significant, but he said he is encouraged by that result. This is not about kids who can't read, he said. They can read. This is about kids who struggle with the increasingly complexity of text, and they progress through grade levels. Training sessions are planned for the summer with principals and with teachers to help them make sense of the data, he said, and to come up with specific strategies for helping struggling students. The next article is entitled, Three Suspects Use Macon Motel Room for Meth. Macon. Three people were arrested Sunday after police claimed they broke up a methamphetamine manufacturing operation being run out of a Macon motel room. The suspects are a 25-year-old man from Macon, a woman aged 47 from Atwood, and a 41-year-old female from Macon, who was apparently living in a room of the Macon motel with the male suspect. All three were booked into the Macon County Jail on charges of possession of methamphetamine manufacturing material, possession of methamphetamine precursor ingredients, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Deputies from the Macon County Sheriff's Office had been called to the motel at 10:30 a.m. by the manager, who said the tenants in the room had not paid their bill and he wanted to throw them out. While they were on their way, the police were told there was a suspicion the occupants were making or in possession of methamphetamine. Deputies checking out the room found the 47-year-old woman inside, who allegedly tried to conceal in her pants a pipe used for smoking drugs. Police said they also seized a small amount of cannabis. The other suspects, who had earlier left in a car, then returned and their vehicle was pulled over. One of the deputies who was there had a canine, and the canine did a free air sniff around the vehicle and indicated a possible presence of illegal drugs, said Lieutenant Jamie Belcher. Police seized a drug smoking device and a small amount of cannabis. Belcher said the hotel room was later searched and that is when deputies allegedly discovered chemicals and materials used to cook methamphetamine. They also found lidocaine patches, another controlled substance, and other miscellaneous drug paraphernalia, added Belcher. The next article is entitled, Rabia Hasnain Settles In at Scripps B. National Harbor, Maryland. Rabia Hasnain received an early birthday gift from the Scripps National Spelling Bee, her own personal birthday cake, and the memory of hundreds of people singing happy birthday. Rabia, who will turn 12 Friday, was one of five spellers invited on stage for recognition during the opening ceremonies of the Bee on Monday evening. She is a 7th grader at Maroa Forsyth Middle School. And that's the news. Have a great rest of the day.